Welcome, a big welcome, a huge welcome to Mary Ward House. We're running a little bit late already, and so apparently are some trains. The Northerners are out of luck again. The signalling problems at Watford, so there probably will be people coming in through the morning session. It is, as you see, a very, very full house. It will be presumably a little bit fuller when Watford gets its act together. But I hope it will be a very exciting day. It's a big pleasure to welcome you. My name is Tim Jackson, to those who don't know, and this is the Resolve Conference on Living Sustainably, Values, Policies, and Practices. Before we start, a couple of housekeeping arrangements. The fire instructions are fairly clear. You follow the green signs if the siren sounds, and the meeting point is in Tavistock Place. We're very pleased to hold the venue here in Mary Ward House, which is not just a Grade 2 listed building, but a venue that prides itself on environmental performance and good practice. And we're also pleased to be in collaboration with the Guardian Sustainable Business Pages at this event. And the Guardian is supporting the event through its presence, through its dissemination of our results, and we will be holding a series of online blogs next week, over the 5 days of next week, featuring some of the people who've spoken at the conference and many of the issues that the conference addresses. So that is a very key, important output for us, and many thanks to The Guardian for that relationship. Resolve itself, very quickly, is the ESRC research group on lifestyles, values, and environments, and we were founded 5 years ago with funding from the Economic and Social Research Council to explore the links between lifestyles, societal values, and the environment, and to provide, as best as we could, robust evidence to policymakers who at that time, in fact, were increasingly interested in the question of lifestyle change, of social change towards sustainability. And a key part of our relationship has been to engage with policy in that debate over a five-year period. It has been, in some sense, an extraordinary period of time when you look back on it, and it coincided, I think, with an early burgeoning of interest in environmental issues and climate change, a popularization even, in particular in the media, of the issues associated with low-carbon living, with living more sustainable, with ethical living. BBC Two's Ethical Man series, for example, and a number of other TV documentaries highlighting the importance, actually, of these issues around lifestyle in the transition to sustainability. It was an awareness that arose and then hit what was once described as events, dear boy, events, things that happened in the world, which in some sense left that rather naive optimism that we could engage in lifestyle change in a media-friendly way and everything would fall into place, left that idea somewhat in tatters. And of course, we were followed by ClimateGate, by the relative failure of the negotiations at Copenhagen, by an economic and financial crisis that had been unprecedented for 70 or 80 years. A set of situations and circumstances that made, if anything, the language of sustainability harder to pursue, the ideas of lifestyle change harder to address, the concerns of ordinary people shifted a little bit further away from the kind of ideas that we had seen so popularized in the media in 2005-2006. It's been an extraordinary time, in fact, to engage in research on this particular area, and very, very fertile as a research period, partly because of the changes that have occurred. One of our objectives in research has been to pursue longitudinal change, to study change over time, to think about stickiness in relation to change, which behaviors stick and which don't, which changes stick and which don't. What is it possible to achieve over longer periods of time in relation to lifestyle change? And how do people's values, attitudes, behaviors, practices evolve over those longer periods of time? You'll hear a lot about this. You'll hear some historical evidence. You'll hear some scenario evidence. You'll hear studies of interventions specifically designed to engage people in change. You'll hear economic analyses. You'll hear sociological analyses. You'll hear psychological analyses. And one of our premises in Resolve has been that this interdisciplinarity, this interdisciplinary research agenda, is an important part of understanding the transition to sustainability. The days when we could rest in our ideological and disciplinary silos are gone, and sustainability demands, I think, this interdisciplinary engagement. And while I say it was a premise, it, to some extent, would be fairer to describe it as a hypothesis. We hypothesized that we would need these different disciplines. We drew together researchers from these different disciplines. And we played out not just research across the disciplines, but also the act of engaging with each other as researchers with different disciplinary expertise. And of course, that challenge to the hypothesis was at times robust. It's a challenge that will go on. It's a challenge that we will explore a little bit this afternoon in a session on interdisciplinary research, where we will, in particular, look at how values and practices are conceived differently, are measured differently, are explored with different lenses and frames, are looked at either through the perspective of ethnographic research, looking in detail at people's lives, or through statistical research, or through psychometric research. And we'll think about the implications of those different research methods in terms of informing policy towards sustainability. These are all key agendas. They were not, I think, an easy place to start from. This kind of interdisciplinary research actually was not widespread before Resolve came into being. The subject of lifestyle change, the relationship between lifestyle and the environment, was not widely explored, particularly in UK research at least. And so Resolve has, I think, over the course of these few years, achieved something of a bridgehead. It has created a little momentum. It's built some critical mass. And it now, I think, quite deservedly has some reputation, not just in the UK, but internationally, as a place where it's possible to ask these difficult questions about a sustainable future. You'll hear a lot of that research from the researchers themselves. We've organized the day in particular around parallel sessions to look at cultures of consumption, to look at carbon soundings, mapping the impacts of consumer lifestyles, to explore transitions in practice, those three sessions, parallel sessions this morning. And then this afternoon, the panel on values and practices and a session on long-range views. This is the contribution from Resolve itself. But I'm particularly pleased that we also have some high-profile external speakers to inform, to comment on, to provide their perspective on the day, on the issues, and on the kind of research that we've carried out. We have, in the afternoon keynote session, Baroness Julia Neuberger, who is leading the House of Lords inquiry on behaviour change for the government. And later in the day, very pleased to welcome Rob Hopkins, who, as many of you will know, is the founder of the Transition Network in the UK. A sense there of learning very much from a practice that has emerged over the same timescale as we have been working in Resolve. But first of all, it's a huge pleasure to welcome Professor Juliette Shaw, as both a colleague and a friend, and someone who, to me at least, has been an inspiration in the academic work, in the policy work, and in the understanding of what it means to confront the issues of lifestyle change and to deliver sustainability. Julie is Professor of Sociology at Boston College. Before that, she taught at Harvard, taught economics at Harvard for 17 years. She's no slouch. Her early books on the overspent American, the overworked American, achieved worldwide sales. And her latest book, Plenitude, The New Economics of True Wealth, is a vision, really, for a different kind of society, a vision for lifestyle change. And at the heart of that vision, Julie places the way in which we use time, the way in which we spend time, and the relationship between work and time. So it's a great pleasure to welcome you, Julie, to the conference to talk exactly on that subject. Juliette Shaw.